You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. What a day to be alive. This is episode 345. We're here to do our recap podcast for Notre Dame's loss to North Carolina State on Saturday. And we've got some good stuff for you guys today. We've got an audio clip from Brian Kelly inside the locker room after the game. And I think it'll make you feel better about Brian Kelly. He's not a Viking that's out to pillage and destroy the attitude or the character or the spirit of the players. He also takes this seriously and takes it upon himself, so we'll play that for you. Then we'll talk about, there's a lot of hate going around about Brian Kelly. Is he the guy to lead Notre Dame to the playoff? And then issues with the offense. Obviously, didn't do a whole lot on offense. And then on the defense, because it was such a horrible game as far as conditions go, is the defense improving? And is there reason to be optimistic moving on for the rest of this season? And we've also got an email. Jeff sent in an email, a question about the offense that we'll get to. And if you guys have a question you want to send, you can email it, mail@irishsportstalk.net. You can also fill out the contact form over on the website, irishsportstalk.net. You can just fill in your name. And if you want your Twitter handle, if you want that mentioned, and ask a question or leave a comment. So let's jump right in. Post game, very, very disappointing loss. Both teams scored 3 points on offense, gave up a touchdown on a blocked punt to kind of seal the game for North Carolina State. And this is what Brian Kelly had to say to his team right afterwards in the locker room. And this is from the Inside Notre Dame on WatchND on YouTube. So here it is.
You were ready to play. You were excited to play. You were energized to play. And I couldn't find a way to win that game for you. And I apologize. I gotta look hard at how I'm doing it to figure out a way to get a win for you guys, because you deserve to win it.
All right, so Brian Kelly has been hard on players in the past, and I've always he's also been hard on the coaching and himself in the past too, but here we have an audio clip, and we do know that he has let the players know as well, and it really did seem like he did shoulder the majority of the blame on his shoulders. And I don't recall if it was on the field or in his post-game press conference, but he did say that he felt like the coaches let the team down.
Yeah, I think that's what he needed to tell this team. But this was, just to start off, this was a terrible game. Like, I don't even know if you can call it a game. This game should not have been played.
Okay. That's what everyone's saying, and I disagree. Unless there's actual... I hated this game, number one. I hated how it looked. It wasn't football. It was disgusting to watch, and I absolutely hated it. However, it's scheduled to be played, and unless people are in danger of getting hurt, you have to play the game.
Well, if they have to tow cars while you're at the game just so they don't get flooded, then that's kind of an issue, too. The stands weren't full. You didn't have the same amount of people there. And it's not football. Like, why do you play football? It's so the fans can watch and enjoy.
I don't know if any fans enjoyed watching this. I didn't enjoy it, but
even North Carolina State.
Yeah,
this was miserable.
The coach thanked the students that were there and a few of the fans. He thanked them for being there.
Which, Virginia Tech and North Carolina played just down the road. It was right after this one. And they played as well. So,
And they had much more success. It was something like 27-3 was the final score.
It was 34-3. But yeah, I just hate watching these games. The crazy thing was, here in Indiana, watching this game. Then I walked outside at halftime. You just like were in shock because it's like 60 degrees and the sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. And it just seemed so weird that it was depressing watching the game because it looked so miserable. Then you go outside and, oh yeah, there is some sunlight. There's something to be positive about. But it wasn't fun to watch at all.
I agree. It was not fun.
I didn't agree with the announcers. That they said that this was old school football, so I don't know if it used to rain more.
I think it just
in the early 1900s, but
a 3-10 game was it was a touchdown score. This is at the beginning of the game.
Okay, I just thought it was kind of funny. I don't know what his reasoning was, but I think it still rains the same amount it did then. So, but here's something else. Next year, okay. So last year, Notre Dame played at Clemson, and it poured rain the whole game. Wasn't as bad as this. Next year, Notre Dame is scheduled to play at North Carolina, I believe, basically the same time. So just prepare yourself to have another rainy game next year.
The horrible weather is supposed to be up here in the north, so at least when it comes to playing football, it hasn't been that way for Notre Dame recently.
Yeah.
So is Brian Kelly... Do you have confidence in Brian Kelly leading Notre Dame consistently to a playoff appearance? And I know fans are giving Brian Kelly all kinds of grief, and you know Fire Van Gorder was pretty obvious and apparent why fans were saying that. But are you at all? Do you even give any credence to the fans who think it's time for Brian Kelly to move on?
Well, kind of where I'm at is these were issues that they've had all year. The complaints I have about this game are complaints I've had for most of this year, and that's why I wasn't as quick to blame Brian Van Gorder in the defense, because I thought there was other issues as well.
Okay.
Now
you need to defend that comment, because I disagree with you that the offense is the reason that Notre Dame has multiple losses on the season.
It's not just the offense.
Well, it's not even close to just the offense.
Oh, I know. The defense was a huge part of it.
I'd say it's like 5% offense.
But this offense, this is my complaint. This is what I'll tell you for what I have against Brian Kelly, the issue. I'm not ready to see Brian Kelly leave because I think it can be fixed. It won't take much to fix it. The biggest issue I have is not being able to change your game plan during the game, adjust to the game.
But would you say that about this game or the entire first half of the season?
Even the first half, not being able to make the decision soon enough. Texas game, you should have started out. You shouldn't have stuck with Zaire as long as you did, because I guarantee you they could have scored enough points. This offense is good enough. They could have scored enough points to win that game.
I agree, but scoring 35 or 38 points in regulation is plenty of points.
I agree. They have talent. This is one of the best offenses, but it's like Brian Kelly said, they lost. It's the coaching. It's the inability to make that decision quickly. Texas, that should have been after two or three drives in the first half. They should have gone with Kaiser, and that could have made all it was 2 points.
Well, hold on though, Zaire only got 2 drives
in Texas,
or did he get 3?
No, he even had a drive after the half.
Did he have 2 in the first half?
It was at least that.
And I know he had one in the second half, but it was not at least. It was not more than 2.
I'd have to go back and look, but they should have.
I agree with you. It should have been figured out,
especially at halftime.
It should have been figured out in the fall.
It
should have been clear.
Exactly.
Completely agree. But still, so that's maybe like a 10-point difference.
Okay, but what I'm saying is Notre Dame has lost their 4 games by an average of 5 points a game. That's 1 touchdown. This offense, all they needed is 1 more touchdown or even a field goal against Texas, and they could have won that game. Michigan State, they waited too long to decide to throw the ball. They made a huge comeback. It was an amazing comeback, but it was too late. They waited too long to do what they had to do to win the game. I know it's hindsight.
Keep in mind this. Okay, let's say both teams... If Notre Dame's defense would have been decent against Michigan State, they kind of both would have been going back and forth and getting it maybe figured out through the course of the game. But when you give up 30 points right off the bat...
I agree with you. What I'm saying is this offense is so incredibly good that they can that they have the ability to make up for that. They know their defense sucked. A normal offense, maybe last year's offense or even the year before, they might not have been able to do it. This offense this year has the ability to do it, and they're not using it.
I disagree with you because this offense has problems running the football. So
well,
pretty
yeah,
much,
but they can pass the ball.
Pretty much,
unless it's raining.
Pretty much, it's all up to DeShone Kizer and the receiving core.
I know. And here's the other thing that sticks out to me is, remember Brian Kelly's stats when he has a first-year starter, a redshirt quarterback?
Yeah.
He has lost one game. Here is Kizer's second year. It's all on his shoulders, and they're losing games. Maybe that's why so many people want Wimbush, because he would be a redshirt. They play more conservative. They wouldn't have been throwing deep balls in this game. It's not the passing game against North Carolina State. It's the deep throws, which some of it was Kizer. But it's the go with the short. Be okay with 3 or 4 yard passes. Do some of this stuff, which I agree. It was harder. It was probably harder for the receivers to get open in that short amount of time in this sloppy mess.
But what you said as far as changing the offense, in either the Sunday teleconference or the post-game show, it wasn't in the Sunday teleconference. Brian Kelly did say that they might need to do some of the things on offense, what they did to the defense, because he does feel like the defense is ascending, and they definitely didn't perform Sunday, I know, or Saturday. I know it was in a hurricane. But he did talk about leaning up the offense, making it simpler, cleaner, so the guys can play faster. And definitely, I do want to get to some of the play calling and some of the play design. But when you said you think this offense can be so much better, up to this game, they were scoring 40 points per game. And you've been saying that they can play a lot better. I mean, I think 40 points per game is more than I would have expected to score this year. I thought it might even take a little bit of a step back. Do you think that 50 points per game, like they should be putting up 50 points per game?
They should be, not in a hurricane.
Well, no, but I'm saying against the first five weeks. I know they can, but it's one thing to have, there's one thing to have expectation, and there's another thing to have reasonable expectation. Like, reasonable expectation, 50 points is way over the top.
Oh, I know. Before this game, they were close to setting the record. I mean, they're at a record pace for scoring points per game at Notre Dame and yards. This is insane. That's what you couldn't. I probably wouldn't be saying this another year.
Yeah.
But the offense we have, the quarterback we have, that people say is going to be a first round, some people have him first, number one overall, they can do it. But what we're seeing now is we shouldn't be that surprised, because based on what they're doing, passing the ball, spread offense, that's what Brian Kelly has done.
And
for a couple years, his first couple years, we begged him to run the football. Finally, they were able to for 2 years, and now they haven't been able to, and he's very quickly going back to the spread. I mean, just passing the ball. The thing is, this team can do it.
And percentage-wise, I don't think it's that different from year to year. It's where the ball is making where the ball is being moved, because they're still at about 50-50, very close to 50-50, give about five points. And it has been really close to, I think maybe 2012 it was closer to 60, that they ran at 60% of the time to passing. But
even the red zone offense is the numbers this year are insane. The red zone, before this game, red zone offense was incredible.
Yeah.
That was one thing that they've always had to get fixed every year. This year, it was fixed. They were getting it done. And looking at it this year, I feel like they would have had a chance to win most of these games if they would have just adjusted sooner and gone with what the team was giving them or needed to be done. I do think North Carolina State game, I think the defense was, the defense was giving these open looks in the past. Well, if I was the defensive coordinator of North Carolina State, I would have been giving them those looks so that they throw the ball on deep throws because it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew it. But you can't, in that situation, you can't just go with that because it looks good, because it's pouring. It's dumping rain.
Let's get back to, so Brian Kelly, do you have confidence that he's the guy that can consistently take Notre Dame to the playoff? I am.
if he's willing to make these make some changes, then I think he can. I think he can get.
Well, and just look over what has happened. Okay, third year in the from 2010, 2012, first 3 years undefeated season, got to the championship equivalent to a playoff. The next 3 years, so from 2013 through this season, in 2015 we didn't make it there, but we were just a few plays away. Legitimately, I know I hate that argument, but Notre Dame was legitimately right there, even up until the Stanford loss. They were very much right there in the mix.
Yeah.
So this is a horrible year. If in the next 2 years Notre Dame is again right there with a shot to get in the playoff, that's my reasonable expectation. In fact, maybe that's just my normal high expectations. But if he's getting one in every 3 years, we're getting really to the playoff or really close to it, I'm fine with that. I'm happy with that. Of course, I want it every year, but that is more than what I've experienced as a Notre Dame football fan in my lifetime.
And I do think some of the problem now is that Brian Kelly might be getting spread too thin. He's had to take over more on the defense, which means he probably has to give more of the offensive stuff to the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe if he could just focus on the offense, you know, like he had other times, he would be quicker to make some of those decisions. But he's trying to trust the guys yet. So that's the other thing. He has to be able to surround himself with guys that'll make the team better.
And for those wondering, well, why didn't Notre Dame go under center more with a couple tight ends and just try to run the football downhill between the tackles? In the pregame, when they were getting warmed up, they were practicing direct snap under center, and they were having issues with it. Brian Kelly said that the players just didn't feel comfortable with it. It's not something they practice because it's not their offense. They did do it a few plays. I'm not sure if it was against Texas or if it was against Nevada, but they did run one or two plays under center this season, but it isn't what they do. And because they didn't the players didn't feel comfortable with it, he didn't want to push it, which I think is the right call. Go with what you're comfortable doing rather than try to do something completely out of the ordinary that your players aren't used to doing, because I think there's just more room for mistakes doing that to try to totally switch something up as different as if you're not doing something that you're not used to doing. All right. With the offense, you mentioned this. I completely agree. I thought in driving rain like that, I think you have to set up some easy short yardage passing plays where Kizer doesn't need to fit it into a window where he can just toss it. Now, that's probably going to be easier to defend, and if it's not there, he needs to just tuck it and run. I thought he was way too indecisive when he was deciding to run the ball or not. That just drove me nuts.
I think he does feel the pressure. There's too much on his plate. Like I mentioned, you know, how good the quarterbacks are in Brian Kelly when they're in their first year starting under Brian Kelly. And it kind of changes, and you'd want the quarterbacks to be able to handle it. But I think because, like I said, this offense needs to score so many points to win the games, that's the only way they're going to win. I think Kizer is feeling that pressure, and so he's trying to make the big plays. And that was one bad thing. That's one thing I didn't like about Syracuse is after all those long passes, that's what you keep looking for. It was so productive. Everything went right that they probably expected to do it again. I mean, one of the first passes he threw deep down the field, I mean, right there was a sign that the long throws were not going to work.
Yeah.
And Brian Kelly mentioned last week that he wasn't as worried about the rain. He was worried about the wind.
Yeah.
But when you have 40-mile-an-hour gusts, I don't know how bad it has to get before. I mean, obviously, it did make a difference, but before they adjusted that. And that was probably, I think Kizer, that was an audible. Kizer saw something, and that's what he audibled to. I mean, some of that stuff is Kizer making the decision.
And as far as, well, why weren't there more short yardage plays? There were times when the running back was running out of the backfield, and Kizer, I'm not saying it was often, but there was a few times, and he just didn't pass to him. And it again, you can't see everything from the TV monitor, but it looked like they were pretty open. Maybe there was someone coming down over the top that you couldn't see.
As far as the indecisiveness, one of the last drives, or no, it wasn't the last one. The one where they were down on the 6-yard line, first and goal. Kaiser, he got sacked. And then I think the next play, he threw it away. And then he was intercepted. And some of those sacks he's taking is because he's waiting for the guys to get, he's just waiting too long. And he needs to get rid of it quicker or throw it out of bounds instead of taking that sack.
Pro Football Focus did an article on Kaiser. And this season so far, as far as the way they graded out, he's been credited or responsible for for 4 sacks, and his offensive line has been responsible for 4 sacks. Okay. So half the sacks that he's gotten have been his own doing.
Yeah. And I was surprised how he, going down, he still tried to throw the ball. I think it happened twice. Just some of that stuff, he's trying to make a play. I just think he's feeling the pressure. And somehow, the thing is, I don't know how you get some of that pressure off of him. But
well, according to him, he's not listening to the talk about going to the NFL. This isn't an exact quote, but pretty much he was asked what he thinks about being named in the early draft boards. And he said people are talking to him about that. And he said people that are close to him know that he doesn't want to talk about that, or that that's not something he wants to discuss.
Well, just if you're the quarterback, you look at what he did in the second half against Texas. You know he has to feel that if he would have started the whole game, they would have won that game. I guarantee you he thinks that. Against Michigan State, I guarantee you he, at some point, he thought that if he would have been able or allowed to throw as much as he did at the end of the game, that they would have won that game. And so there's got to be that idea in his head that if they just let him play, make his throw, that he can win this game. And
he keeps on doing that stupid spin move, which it on the sideline it helped him get the first down.
Yeah,
but he's doing it way too many times.
Yeah, and as far as the passing, I think they threw on 23 first downs. They threw it 12 times, and a lot of those were incomplete. And so you start off in a bad situation. And so then, even when they went for it on 4th and 12, I mean, they knew they weren't going to be able to run the ball 12 yards for a first down. It's just, everything is just, they're not set up to make the play or to win. It's just, there's too many things that is the coaching staff needs to do something about it. It's not the players.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And one issue from this whole season so far has been running the football when you just need a few yards. And yeah. Brian Kelly kind of said, well, it's they thought they could get a better look if they would run it to the outside. He was asked this earlier game. And they're not blowing guys off the line of scrimmage enough when they need to run the football.
Well, did you listen to the post-game show, Reggie Brooks?
I did.
He was talking about that a little bit, and from how I understood it, the offensive line, they run it outside, and the offensive line, like, moves, tries to go to that side, instead of just the power room where they just open a gap in the line. They try to move everything, which makes it more difficult to move the opposing defensive line because you're not set.
Because you're moving sideways.
Yeah. And so maybe they need to do more of that, just open a lane and let them go. Don't try to do this crazy trickery. Yeah. Just open a gap and let them run. And this game, well, obviously the other team, they're playing the same. They're all playing in the rain and the mud. But it was hard to get a footing. Even the running, it was hard running the ball, but it's just, I'm not totally against the passing. It was about 50-50. It was the passing that they were doing, the deep throws. I mean, keep it short. Be okay with a 3 yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do that four times, you're going to have a first down. Or even if you do it three times, have a 4 yard. I mean, you can get first downs.
I want to read the question from Jeff. I'll kind of take us into the next debate here. I realize our defense sucks this year, but they have done well. The offense is horrible. What is your opinion on giving the ball to Zaire? He is a running quarterback, and obviously the weather hindered the passing. And I think he was talking about the offense horrible in this specific game.
Yeah.
So Zaire did came in for one play when when Kaiser was on the sideline being checked out for something. And, I'm sure this crossed every fan's mind. Well, Kaiser is a better runner. Why not bring him in? And maybe it even crossed Brian Kelly's mind, too. But I just don't – as difficult as it was for Kaiser to kind of adjust and for the whole team to be able to adjust to these conditions, I just don't think it would be a good idea to bring in a guy when you know you have a couple drives left and we need to score. I don't know. I just feel like it would probably put you in – more a worse possibility as far as turning the ball over, but obviously what they did didn't work either.
Yeah, I was at the point I wouldn't have been opposed to having Zaire come in and just run. I mean, he's still the running quarterback, runs the read option very well, and you can at least try. If you're running game, they had to get more runs or have more success running the game. So I was surprised to see him come in for one play. I feared they might actually come in and...
I thought he was coming in for
a drive to do that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we keep hearing is that his demeanor on the sideline is that he's not okay with what all is going on. And so I think it's hard for the coach to put him out there, because I think when we have seen him in there, that one play where they did the trick play was against Michigan State.
No, it was Duke.
I think he would have the same problems Kaiser has of trying to do too much, because he wants to prove he's the starter. And so I think that's why I wouldn't have been opposed to having him come in. I was like, hey, you know, maybe at this point you try it after the second half. But I think that's what's keeping him off, is because he isn't thinking clearly. He's trying to make the big plays because he wants to be the starting quarterback.
I think you're probably right. All right.
I will. The running game. Somebody tweet out a picture of a scene from The Blind Side, and I actually did see this. the movie happened to be playing on TV Saturday night, and so I happened to actually see when this happened, but it's just Sandra Bullock in the stands saying, "Run the dang ball." I think she had called the coach. She called the coach down the sideline, and then she yelled at him and was like, "Run the dang ball," and was pointing down the field. So anyways, it was pretty amusing to see that during the game. But honestly, I did not expect it to be 50-50. They did run the ball more than you think.
Yeah. It felt like, again, just it feels like it's like 70-30, like we're passing it, run.
But I think a lot of it, the one of the last drives when they actually marched it down the field was run, run, run. I think they ran it about 10 times. And then when they got down close to the goal line, they passed the ball.
And let's not forget how many times drives were stopped because of a fumble, dropping the ball, or taking a bad sack. I mean, there one of the series was, there was two plays. It was a run by, I think it was Josh Adams, where he got maybe 4 yards or 6 yards, and then Kaiser ran it, and he would have had a first down, but he fumbled the football. And so...
Well, here, Notre Dame's drives were punt, punt, fumble, interception, punt, and then the end of the half, and field goal, turnover on downs, punt, punt that was blocked, fumble, and then turnover on downs. So it
wasn't like half of them were fumbles or interceptions, but there was a number there. Okay. Is there reason to believe that, actually, before we do that, like I mentioned, Pro Football Focus, they've got articles over there, and there is an article about Notre Dame, and it's called what's wrong with Notre Dame, and it kind of goes through a few different things. Mentions that Notre Dame has had 81 missed tackles so far this season, and last year they had a total of 109. So great read over there by our friends from Pro Football Focus. And if you want to show them some love, show us some love, you can sign up for one of their offers. If you click on our link over on our website for Fan Essentials, you can click on it. For Pro Football Focus, it'll take you on over, and then you can get their all-access subscription, which is normally $130. Well, you can get it for $20 off if you click through our link. So check that out. Great fantasy tool, but also just some great articles over there about college football and, of course, the NFL as well.
Talking about their stats and the missed tackles and stuff, just to kind of, maybe this will ease the pain a little bit, I don't know, but Texas A&M against Tennessee this weekend, they did beat Tennessee, but I believe Texas A&M had missed like 30-some tackles in that game.
Wow.
It was bad. And they did still win the game, but there are other teams that are struggling to tackle, so.
So is the defense getting better? Both teams played in the same conditions, and both defenses held the offense to 3 points. And just looking at it, it was hard to tell. So, but Brian Kelly did say he noticed things, regardless of weather conditions. He did notice things where it was clear that the defense is showing improvements, whether it's alignments, guys were in the right positions, they weren't... pretty much they were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So according to him, from his perspective, the defense is continuing to improve, and which is why I do believe that Notre Dame is going to turn things around, because I know this I look at this game as an anomaly because of the weather. And I did expect a loss. I didn't expect the weather to be this bad, but I did expect it to affect the game. Just not quite to this extent.
We did both predict a loss, but we were still each team scoring over 30 points.
That's true.
We got the three right.
I had said Notre Dame was able to hold North Carolina State to under 30 points that they would win, but they didn't hold them below 30, but not able to come away with a win. So I do think that they can get things turned around, and we're continuing to see a lot of young guys play. Nico Fertitta looked pretty solid. Tillery had a really solid game.
He was the leading tackler. The defense, I guess one good thing is the defense rankings went up quite a bit. Their total defense, they went from 106th overall to 75, and their scoring defense went from 100 to 77.
And we're now giving up below 30 points per game. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
So the stats for the defense are getting better, but the problem is the offensive rankings went way down. But the weather. The bad thing is just a couple miles down the road, Virginia Tech did score 34 points on North Carolina, which looked to be a decent team. So they were playing in which
when that's on our schedule.
I'm guessing the field conditions were better than this.
I'm guessing too.
They had to be.
I did watch part of that game.
Yeah,
but I was kind of falling asleep and trying to fall asleep anyway. Okay. So outlook for the rest of the season. I'm still very optimistic that Notre Dame can get this turned around. That even though Notre Dame's 2-4, with their only wins coming against Nevada and Syracuse. Stanford is not as formidable as they had appeared. Miami lost, and I never thought they were that good anyway. And speaking of Miami, I did watch part of that game. Their fans are just pathetic. There was a targeting penalty on one of their defensive players, and he was ejected. The fans started throwing bottles onto the field. Tons of bottles.
Was this at Miami?
It was at Miami.
Yeah.
I've just I I've never seen a live game that I've been watching where it looked like that. It looked out of control.
Yeah.
It looked like a third world country reacting to some stupid soccer match.
Yeah. Well, before you get too excited about this, let me throw something at you. Notre Dame's opponents that they've played so far, their record is 15 losses, 16 wins. Five of those have been against Power 5 teams, which four of those five are Notre Dame. Those teams that Notre Dame has already played have one Power 5 win outside Notre Dame, which is North Carolina State against Wake Forest. And their next opponents, their record is 21-8.
And here's what you fail to account for, Randall.
Let's hear it.
Well, we know we can score points. Forget this game ever happened. If the weather is decent, Notre Dame will score 33 points per game regardless. I don't care who it is. If as long as it's not in a hurricane, they're going to score 33 or more points per game.
Okay.
The defense is getting better. I'm not saying that the whole team's to below 30 points from here on out, but I think they'll continue to make improvements, and I think they'll make enough improvements that Notre Dame can, and I expect them to win out. Stanford was the one that I had thought, well, they'll lose to that one, but they've and maybe they'll get things turned around too, but they're not nearly as tough as what I thought they were just a few weeks ago. Miami, I've never been high on them, and Navy, they put up a lot of points against Houston. They beat Houston, number six team in the country. Navy's in the top 25 now. Congratulations, Navy. However, we can score on Navy, and maybe we'll need to score 50 on Navy. But that's one game where I feel Notre Dame needs to score maybe more than 45 points to win.
Yeah, I do feel like it's not going to be quite as bad because like I said, I do think this offense is good enough to overcome the defense mistakes and tackling issues and whatever to win games. So I do think they can win games. Now, the difference is the coaches need to understand that as well. I mean, they need to put the players in the situation early in the games to win these games. Like I said, I do think that they could have won more games this year already if that would have happened. So I'm not quite as down on this team of what I thought. I mean, what I originally was. But, yeah, it's just so hard to tell. I think the biggest thing is how this coaching staff responds.
Yeah. Without question in my mind, the best team on Notre Dame's schedule is Virginia Tech. They're putting up about 40 points per game, and they're holding teams to about 15.
Navy scares me as well just because we can't tackle.
Navy, yeah, scares me for that reason too, but I think we'll be able to score a lot of points on them.
So it'll be another one of those games where both teams score 40 points. It'll come down to the last drive. Was that 3 years ago?
I think it was 2014.
Yeah, it was 14.
2014. I think so. All right.
The one thing that's going to make a huge difference is if Brian Kelly can keep the trust of the team. If the team starts to doubt the coaching staff, it's all going to fall apart. Well, just like we saw in
2014.
In 2014.
I agree with you.
The Navy, I think it was 13.
It was.
It wasn't 14.
No, it was 2014 because it was after Florida State, Notre Dame lost, and they did beat Navy then, but
Brian Van Gorder was here.
It was like a 49 to 42
it came
game
down,
or something.
It was basically whoever had the ball last was going to win the game. But yeah, we've been saying it every game, you know, if I think everybody kind of feels like, oh, this is the most important game on the schedule. We've heard that for how many games now? And then they get one more loss and the next one's just is the big thing. And I do think Stanford is the next. At some point, this team isn't going to put up with it. The coaches are going to lose the team, and then it's going to be disaster. And I think that's what happened in 14.
Mm-hmm. If that happens, yeah, I'm very concerned. And Notre Dame needs to get to a bowl game. just to get those extra practices in, that game in. They need to get to a bowl game.
They have to go 4-2 the rest of the year,
which I think will happen. I mean, yeah, like I said, I think they'll win out.
Oh my, they're not gonna win out.
Okay, we're gonna do things I like, things I hate, but first, how would you like to get all of your favorite NBA or NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so that you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at $35. Visit FanEssentials.net and use promo code IrishSportsTalk at checkout for a discount that will get you under $30 for the first month. Visit FanEssentials.net, use promo code IrishSportsTalk, and as a little extra gift, we're giving away one month free for one of our listeners. Retweet this episode, episode 345. It'll be pinned to the top of our Twitter page. Retweet it, and then on Thursday, I'll announce the winner, and you'll get 1 month free Fan Essential gear. All right. Things I like, things I hate. Things I hate was this whole game. I hated this Saturday. I hated it.
Yeah. It was depressing. Let me tell you how it went for. Okay, so we were planning to go up to Chicago Saturday evening, stay overnight, be there Sunday. It's kind of an anniversary trip. But I had to watch this game. And I watched the first half at home. And very depressing half. Walked outside into the sunshine and headed for South Bend. We were going to stop at Buffalo Wild Wings and watch the rest of the game. Well, then it got delayed, so we kept driving to the next one. When we got there, this was in Logansport. This is like a half hour from South Bend, from Notre Dame. Walk in there, there's hardly anybody there. Most of the big screens, all the big screens had Notre Dame, North Carolina State, and even some of the small ones. Then here and there, there was a couple of the Texas-Oklahoma game. Some annoying person in there had requested to have the sound turned to Texas game.
No.
Meanwhile, everybody else in there was Notre Dame fan.
How many people were there?
But because they had requested total?
Well, I'm saying
you mean in the whole?
No, I'm saying was there like 5 Notre Dame fans and 2 Oklahoma State fan or Oklahoma fans?
I don't know. They were in. Oh, there was just one table that was for Oklahoma,
and there was 4 or 5 that were.
Oh, there was pride. Oh yeah.
I don't care who asked for it first.
But somebody that close to Notre Dame, half hour from South Bend, requesting that during the game is one of those obnoxious. They're just being in pain.
It should be. If I would own a Buffalo Wild Wings, it would be store policy. Whatever our traditional team is in the area, that's what the TV and the audio is going to be turned to.
So it was very frustrating because the sound was just blaring for the Texas-Oklahoma game and trying to watch the Notre Dame game. And just the way the game was going, it did not. It was a bad setup. But we survived.
Do you have anything that you love?
Well,
I've got one.
The defense, I have to go with the defense. They did look better. Jerry Tillery, Cage, some of these guys, they look like their tackling's getting better. They're making plays. They're getting into the backfield, putting pressure on the quarterback. Even like Rochelle forced the quarterback outside so that Anawalu could get the sack. I mean, you can tell they're improving on defense. Even though, you know, it was a weird game, there's still stuff that is definitely getting better on defense.
Mine is Justin Yoon. Against all impossible circumstances, he was able to make a field goal in an impossible situation. Wasn't enough to win the game. I do wish they would have given him the chance for that second one. And I actually had a dream, Randall, a few days. Did I tell you about this?
We were talking about it on Groomy. So.
A few days before the game, I think it was Thursday night, I dreamt that Notre Dame won the game on a long field goal by Justin Yoon.
Well, I'd have to go back and check, but there was at least two times that when they went for it on fourth and down, do you think they should have kicked that? It was 1 yard further than the one he made.
Yeah. I mean, because he made the other one, you may as well. If he would have missed that one, I would have said no. But because he made
because it was fourth and 12 and you were not...
Well, yeah. And it was fourth and 12. And because he made the other one too, yeah, kick it.
I agree. They should have kicked it there. And earlier when they were first and goal, the 6 yard line. Right. This is not the Super Bowl with the Patriots against the Seahawks where you throw it, try to outdo the other team. You just run the ball, and if you don't make it, you kick a field goal. Like, that was a chip shot. I mean, I'm sure Yoon could have made that. So right there, you know, even stuff like that could change the game because North Carolina would have probably tried to kick it a couple times instead of going for it on fourth down just because they would have been behind. They're just too few, you know, it would have just been 9 points, you know, that wasn't enough, but that would have been more,
and obviously,
their offense would have scored more than the North Carolina State's offense.
He had some confidence in him because they did kick the one.
Yeah. They were worried, Brian Killen mentioned he was worried about it getting blocked since the other one was so low.
Yeah.
But, especially on fourth and 12, you got to try it. Oh, well, hindsight is...
Yeah. We are halfway through the season now. Woo! We're going to be going over our over and under predictions on Wednesday. This game really threw off the numbers.
Yeah, maybe we should just skip that.
No, yeah, we got to go through. We'll see if we can get Tony back on the podcast to defend his position. I know I've got one that I'm really embarrassed about, and I saw it was going off course after about the second week.
I know the ones about the rushing game.
The rushing one is after the second week. That was not going to happen. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Check back on Wednesday. Follow us on Twitter. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.